That's not so good,
no,
is it, Faye?
Yeah.
Where, these things.
Oh, they're so cute.
Well, most of them, you know, just say, I'm sorry you are sick. I would try to get you a get well card. I wish that you can get out of the hospital. Love, Fred Bowers. And this says, Dear Miss Hutchinson, how are you feeling? I hope you get well soon. I wish you come out of the hospital. Love, Justine General.
Is that Miss Hutchinson?
Uh-huh.
Who's Miss Hutchinson?
Aunt Hazel. These are the Aunt Hazel.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
She's going to send them to Hazel.
And it says, I hope you feel better. I wish to give you a flower. Sometimes I give Ms. O'Connell flowers, and she likes them. I think you would like them, too. Love, Charmin Dillon.
Charmin Dillon.
She is so, she's, all of these children are from this area. I hope you like our letters and take them home. Edgar was, he said, she's going to throw these letters away. And I said, child, she'll keep these letters till the day she dies.
She will, too.
This child, she was fascinated by the fact that Aunt Hazel wrote. I said, well, she has written books, and she had written books about her teaching. And she said, Dear Miss Hutchinson, I wrote you this so you will feel better soon. When you are in the hospital, I feel sad. I wish you would teach me how to write stories soon. I love you so much I feel like flowers, Miss Hutchinson. I hope you come around to see us.
That's
so, so funny. I wish you were here. Do you know me? I am Sean. Now you know me. I wish I were there. Get well soon. Love, Sean Philosophy.
Now you know me.
Isn't that,
that's the best one, I think.
Now you know me.
And they don't understand. They didn't understand that she didn't teach anymore. I told them she was a lot older than I was, but they couldn't grasp that. So he said,
anybody that teaches is pretty old.
I will hope you get well again. I hope you can walk again soon. I hope you can teach school again. I hope you will like to see your class. I will hope to see you sometime. Love, James Thomas.
Isn't that nice?
See, he thought, well, she's going to go back to her class when she gets out of the hospital. This one says, I hope you feel better, better now. I hope you be my teacher sometime. I hope you feel so, so better. Sometime I hope I can come down there soon. I hope you feel so better. Love, Kenneth Jackson.
Well, I was trying.
He's getting it out.
Now, a lot of these are black.
Oh, yes, most of them are. I have about 6 white out of 31, and then the rest are black.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This child said, I wish you can teach very soon. Oh, there.
And they all these pictures.
Oh, yeah. I hope you can get well and go home. I wish you was my teacher next year. I bet you was a nice teacher. I wish you will be better after a while. If you do not be in the hospital, you will not get it better. If you do not
be like that thinking.
Yeah.
What is the coloring?
They just color different things. I told them color.
They're so natural, you know, that's what makes it so nice.
Anything I said, tell her something you think would make her feel good. And they thought, well, bright colors, you know, or flowers or something, you know.
Red.
Is that letters?
I don't know what that is. I think this was supposed to be a train, but then you know how they kind of want, they have hearts on them. Oh, the hearts are the cutest thing. This little boy is he's real low, but he said, Dear Miss Hutchinson, I love you, dear Miss Hutchinson. I love you. Yes, I do. Do you love me? Yes. I hope you will be well soon. This little girl said, Did you have a good Christmas? I hope that you will get to get up and walk. Love, Miriam Brown. And yeah, I wish you didn't live so far away. Some of the, this little girl said, I love you, dear Miss Hutchinson. I am going to PE now. I hope you get better. Love, Trisha Cooper. Put a little house and flowers in this.
She drew a real
house. Oh, yeah. This little boy's a character. We hope to see you when you is not ill. We love you. I love you. I hope you like this class. We are a good class. We want to see you. Love, Alvoid Simmons, Jr.
Alvoid.
Isn't that a name? Listen, dear Miss Hutchinson, I know, I know you cannot get up out of bed. Is you feeling good now? I hope you will get well soon. I wrote this letter in my room.
I'm so glad you're teaching them. Is you?
Well, you know, you try and correct them, but then when they write something like this, I don't like to, you know,
say,
now that's not right, because then they kind of feel pressed, and then they change it to what you want them to say.
Yeah,
that's
so much nicer.
Yeah.
Well, they got to speak kind of the language they're speaking home.
That's
right.
You know, you can't cross the thing too much, I feel.
Not when you're trying to do something creative like this. If I was teaching them English, you know, during English, they usually say, what is it they say? You say, McKinley, where's your baker? Where's your pencil? I ain't got none. And boy, I leap off. Oh, I do not have one at this time, Mrs. O'Connell. and straighten it out real quick. But when they're doing this,
sure,
see, I don't want them.
Go.
Yeah, I want them to say what they want to say. You must be a nice lady. You must be a nice lady. We is sorry you is in the hospital. I wish we can get out the hospital. Love, Robert Lee Richardson. He's from around here, the Lord.
Well, I don't know. I take a right smart difference from what I used to about the language.
Really?
So little. It's written so little.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually read so little. It's all mostly oral. And we wrote this little thing on Mr. Nealand. Oh, it's 150 pages with Rick and Debbie and them. And Mr. Nealand looks at it and made a few notes on it. And I was going to pass it around some of his friends. Why, they just keep it, or else I couldn't locate them. And I could see pretty soon that Mr. Nealand's friends didn't read.
No.
So you don't have the spoken language, anything in the culture they'll pick up. But once you start teaching something, it's different.
Yeah. Well, you know, as far as expressing, when they're trying to
expressing, I can't really see anything wrong with it.
But
they,
I know that they've
that's
got,
their
you
culture.
Know.
Why should someone have to switch it around?
Well,
right.
not when they are trying to express something, but
sure.
They've got to learn to speak, because you can't go out and try and get a job and say, fill out this application. I ain't got nay a pencil. I mean, they're even going to get
you
a
pencil.
I
know, but still, you're putting them in a culture where they, sometimes I don't know if they really belong in a culture like that.
Well, I know, but it's a white world, Becky. Or it's a white United States.
Well, I know, but all the time I was a GI, all the blanks that we had to fill out,
mm-hmm.
I never filled out a one.
Really?
They always had a sergeant there who could do it better than I could.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, and some of the blanks are really ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, God.
They wanted to get them right, you see, so they did them themselves.
Yeah.
I was there and answered questions, but they did the work.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, this filling blanks out, not a simple thing, not a simple thing.
No, it can get kind of rough, I'm sure. This Joe girl said,
you got to decide what you're doing. People that are going to fill out blanks are the ones who are going to do it for them.
Well, yeah. Maybe a little bit of both. It would be nice to get them above writing their name. This old girl said, if you weren't so far away, I would bring you some flowers.
Flowers.
Uh-huh. This old girl's been in the hospital. She has deformed kidneys. And she said, I hope you get well soon. I hope you have lots of visitors. I was in the hospital one time. It was no fun.
Isn't
that's the best one. I'm going to say that one for last. That is priceless. This is, I wish you feel better and strong and healthy and teach again. I wish you can get up and walk around. I hope feel better soon. Left out you. I hope you have a better day in the hospital. I hope you have a good day. But this child is the funny. Do you know the Halls that live around here up in Orange Lake? I don't know if you've ever run into them. It's a huge family. And this little boy is about this big. He's the tiniest one in my class and just a character. He smiles and his mouth goes like a beak, like a bird beak. He's the funniest thing. And he says, Dear Miss Hutchinson, I hope you be well. Did you have a good Christmas? Did Santa Claus bring you a lot? I don't like to be sick. It is not fun to be sick. It is fun to play in the rain. You don't play in the rain because you will get sicker. Love you.
Isn't that cute?
Second grader.
Isn't that the cutest thing? Let me see that one.
Well, now, what do you know about the Halls?
Well, they're just, you know, there is. Ulysses was telling me the other day, he's so cute. His father is dead. And he said, Do you know how my father died? And I said, No, sweetie, I don't know. He said, Well, some man shot him in the shoulder and he ran into a wire and it cut his throat.
Uh-huh.
That horrible, but they, you know, he accepts
it.
That's where
we live.
Yeah, that's right.
And,
yeah. A matter of fact of life.
Yeah. Yeah. He came to school last week, the same little boy, and he didn't have on any underwear. And I said, Ulysses, do you have any underwear at home? And he said, No, just my sister's. And I said, he said, and I wear them sometime. And I said, Well, would you like for me to get you some little boy's underwear? I thought, you know, they aren't that expensive. And he said, Well, I don't know. And I said, Well, why don't you know? He said, I ain't never worn them before. You never had them on. How do you know if you're going to like them or not?
Well, that's the truth.
But he's a cute little boy.
See, she just spoils him.
Why? Don't you know she?
Sweet name.
I wonder why.
That child is just precious. It's a cute
it
little
is fun thing. Playing in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You don't play in the rain because you will get sicker.
You will get sicker. Now, can't you see Aunt Hazel out prancing around in the rain?
Well, can't you see her just loving me?
Oh,
well,
I
she
think
she can read.
Yeah.
She can read. I mean, she
well,
can
what,
see.
What live halls do you know about down there? I
what
don't
now? Now, this isn't Halls and McIntosh. This is a group of black people that live down here in Orange Lake. And they're all related to the Lowry's and Halls. And
oh, he's black.
Yeah, this little boy's black.
You've got more acquaintances amongst the blacks than you have there.
I really do. That's the truth.
A lot of your children come from around Orange Lake.
Oh, yeah. And Evanston and Boardman. Yeah, I've had a lot of kids from Boardman. You know what's on the other side of McIntosh?
Yeah.
It's kind of a rough area. But, yeah, a lot of them do.
Yeah.
Bust in from out there. But we've got to get back, but I just wanted to share these with you because I just thought they were so cute.
Oh, you want to get her address?
I think Mama has it, doesn't she? It's
well, I
Bingman
don't know.
Bingman Home?
No, let
Hall.
Me let
be
me
sure you get it.
Okay.
Because she may not have the last one. And I can get it for you.
Well, I'm just having a good time.
Well,
read me some more.
Aren't they good though?
They really. I thought they were so cute.
Yeah.
I just thought they were precious.
Now, can you see them make a little progress, Lauren?
Oh yeah.
They're
coming.
Dot the eyes, no.
Yeah. Trying to get these capitals in the right place.
Well, they do pretty good for second graders,
they
I'd
aren't
say.
Too bad.
They express themselves pretty well.
Yes, and if they heard the same language at home,
that's right.
That,
they're learning a foreign language. What it amounts to a large extent.
Yeah.
They are sure something.
I guess they are.
This, of course, I can't handle the color people. You know, I talk to them, but amongst the white people I've talked to out here. Right in the same family, Mr. and Miss Patterson. Miss Patterson could speak both, but she went a little bit towards the correct forms and the school language.
Now, this is a black lady?
Oh, no.
White.
And Mr. Patterson, now, he's a long, tall fella, and they were my best friends out here for several years. They both died within 2 months of each other.
Good golly.
And I used to think he was just a big blow pumper, everything. But it turned out I thought Mrs. Patterson was the one. She's the one I want to talk to. Well, I found out it was just the other way around. She was nice and all like that, but he's the one that had the gifts.
Yeah.
He had the perceptiveness of Mark Twain.
Huh.
And it took me all this time to find out about it. You know what? He wouldn't speak that old school language. He just speaks that plain old native language. I don't know what you'd call it, the kind that most people used to speak.
Hmm.
Now you'd say it ain't just the way people says it is.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I mean, you can just put all those tags in it, but the tags are there, and some of them are just as tags of any spoken English. But he could talk. And he didn't have to look for words. And he didn't worry about the grammar and things like that,
mm-hmm.
you see. And he never said, one does this sort of thing. That emasculates the language when
mm-hmm.
you start being correct.
Well,
I
found that the majority of the black teachers at our school are more interested in getting these children to speak at least, you know, halfway decent English than they are in read and math. Those are the three main things they're interested in, and probably reading and the verbal communication is at the top of their list. And they don't like it when they, you know, talk like they do at home. They're trying to break them of it.
Well, the thing is, Judy, the thing that bothers me about that is that they, somewhere along the line, they've been made ashamed of their own dialect.
Yeah.
And that's why, and then the, and they don't, it stands them out, it sets them apart
yeah.
when they talk like that. And they don't like that, which is sort of bad because you're, they're not individuals anymore. They're
no.
not a group. They're blending into a way which is foreign to them. Which
but I still say if they're going to work, you know. Now who is that fellow that was so interesting that we had for a course one time? He lives in Ocala, and he used to say he'd call the roll, and this girl never came to class. He was a black fellow, and he spoke very, very nice English, you know, like we do, just average. And until he would get upset about something, and then he would break down. He was funny thing, and he would say, "This girl's name was Patricia Gorto," and he talked with his tongue kind of under his teeth, and he'd go down the row, and he'd call us off, and he'd get to Pat, and he'd say, "Gorto," and Gorto was never there, and he'd say, "Gorto," like that, and finally he'd look out over that rostrum and say, "Gorto, is you here today?" Just like that, and then he'd realize what he'd say, and he'd get back in the swing of things. And go on with his whatever he was talking about.
You know, as I think about it now, I was right close to that when I was growing up, but I just far enough away from it that it never came natural for me to talk like
mm-hmm.
that. And you know, I just feel so sad about that I'm not bilingual like.
Yeah.
Well, you know we catch ourselves at school saying things, and Tim said to me the other day, he said, "What did you say?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to tote this so-and-so." And the children use that term, tote. "I'm going to tote this to the so-and-so."
But it'll just
and
be tagged.
Judy
and well,
Becky.
Yeah.
Lee,
hi.
This is Barbara Long.
Hi, Barbara.
Have a seat. Go ahead and talk.
Okay.
Well, you look healthy and happy.
I feel healthy and happy. Reasonably so.
Oh
no!
Just 24 hours of depression and death.
Must
yeah,
be nice.
Watching color TV
and eating a good meal.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't
flipping
don't.
The switch with your thumb
yeah.
or something off and on.
No.
No. Hope they didn't have you on a liquid diet.
No, only one meal. That was the one at noon yesterday.
Did they run tests or something?
I had a kidney biopsy.
Yeah.
That
was
it. Well, they didn't have to. Take your kidney out to look at it.
Yeah, that's good.
No, not quite.
Oh.
I tell you, what's your, how is your friends over at your house today? The ones that were very unfriendly to me.
Oh, the dogs?
Yeah.
No. Oh, they're grouping up again this afternoon. We got three over there.
So far.
Oh. So far, there are three.
Yeah.
Probably two more will arrive.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell
you. Oh, brother.
There is one little black oboe that I'm going to get.
That dog is something, isn't he?
And that's the barkingest dog.
He does bark.
He was after me today.
He is. But, you know,
he
he's
really
good
was.
To have down in
but
Oklahoma.
But you just have...
He
someone
really
told
is.
Me, this man told me that this gas man came to our house one time, and he was really quite friendly with the dogs. And he said, "Don't ever approach a dog with your hand like this." He said, "Approach a dog," and it's true, too. He said, "Approach him with the back of your hand." He said, "Because if you come with them like this, the dogs go, gives them more tendency to bite because of the hands. Because if you give them the back of your hand and let them smell you and just take it easy," and Turney didn't offer to bite him either, which is, you know, it's sort of unusual for him coming in the house there. And he just very slowly lets the dog approach him and gives him the back of the hand. Never the front. He said, "Always
well,
give him the back."
Then I guess robbers know that. Turnip never bothers me. It's
well, he
oboe.
Knows you're good, you see. See, he's discriminating.
But this oboe.
Well,
Turnip, is that your dog?
Yeah.
Well, Turnip.
The super dog.
Seemed to be right friendly, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I tell
but
you,
he
discriminates. He knows good from bad.
But he can be, rough.
Oh, yeah. This man, but you know, this man came in and it was so sad because it was a black guy and we were in Washington. And he opened the door. I was going to let him in to use the phone or something. He was fixing the gas pipes out front. And I didn't know he was afraid of dogs. And the attorney was at the top of the stairs. And the man opened the door, the fellow, started to step in, and attorney came down the stairs, which were right at the door, like greased lightning, as the guy said. Greased lightning. I like that phrase. And he just tore down after that man, and he has never offered to attack like that. And the guy got out quickly, and he said, I'm terrified of dogs. He said, I've been terrified of dogs for years. He said, and that dog knew it. He said, I'm not coming in that house.
Uh-huh.
And he said, and he, we were discussing it, and he said that when people are afraid and have fear, they give out a certain, their body has a certain chemical which is produced on the skin or something. This was his theory. And the dog can detect it like that, and he'll come for it. But Tony has never attacked. I mean, he'll
horses are probably the same,
you know,
way
nip at someone, but he won't attack.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have killed that man because he just no hesitation, just down those stairs right on top of that man nearly, and he got out the door, slammed the door in his face. But
well, as a watchdog,
he
almost.
Yeah, but the thing is, like he must have known because he has never offered to attack anyone like not like that. I mean, he's kept his distance, but. He never offered to attack like that, but the guy was afraid of him, and he admitted.
He looked so friendly over there. The other dogs was barking, but
yeah.
He doesn't generally.
There's some
he's
people
so
he
big,
doesn't
he doesn't
like,
have
though.
To worry about it.
He's been, like in Bogota, he attacked this fella.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the man was just walking by, and I told the maid, don't let him out. I said, you never know what he's going to do. She said, he was a bad guy. He said he was attacking him because he was a bad guy. He said, he knows who's good and who's bad. So from then on, I believe it, you know.
A lot of Bogotans.
Yeah. Well, he attacked a nun one day. That was
well, he raised
a policeman. No, yeah, that was.
He raised his leg on the nun's habit over in
oh,
the park.
No.
Oh, yes.
I said, oh, God, I went over there. And the maid, who was a Catholic anyway, just knew it. She says, oh. Dios mio. She started crossing herself.
Becky's walking off pretending like,
oh,
I don't know who
no.
that dog belongs to. That's just terrible.
Becky just started walking off. She
sure, of course. I couldn't afford the church nearby. And the nun sitting out there.
You mean turnip in
there? Yes. Oh, Lord.
Well, you couldn't just leave turnip to the strangers.
Oh, well, I knew he'd come along sooner or later, but I just couldn't help.
Barbara, when they were talking about going to Spain this fall, Becky said she wasn't going. She wasn't going
no,
to leave Turner.
Leave
and she wouldn't
have
left
him. I wouldn't
her.
Have left him, no. I
no,
wouldn't have left him.
Uh-uh.
He's 11 years old, and he's the best thing that's come along. I mean, he really, you know, there's one thing I must say about a dog. Faye, y'all, do you have a dog?
We don't have one, but I love dogs.
You need to get one. If you get a good dog, you've got something that is equivalent to a person and a half. I mean, a dog will never, I mean, they stick with you. And they, I mean, I never have any trouble with that dog.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he digs holes at Daddy's house and
the tunnels under the foundation.
Tunnels under the foundation and stuff. But he's just, you know, in resting, I wouldn't hesitate to stay by myself 1 minute.
And I said to your mother, you mean you're not going to Spain? You mean, how can I go to Spain when I've got turnip
here?
That wasn't the reason. I don't mean it.
Yeah, no.
She was just
kidding. No, yeah, I know how she is because she wrote me about that.
Yeah.
So I could take the care
of where you live.
Yeah, in Washington.
And you feel all right as long as he's
As long as he's in there. No problem, because some of the things which he does, you know, he's not an aggressive dog, which I'm glad of. He's big, but he's not aggressive.
Right.
But I feel sure that if anything happened, he and Nell one time in Bogota, we were, this taxi, Nell had cancer, and she was really dying of cancer, and we had her operated on there. She had this big white bandage around her. And the taxi drivers there were rather mean. I mean, they would try and run you down, and no joke. And we were walking along, and I'm not joking, you guys. They would try and run you down. They really would. If they see you crossing the street, they'd speed up to just
make
you
run. You
to
make
death.
You run.
I mean, they would miss
Faye
you.
Faye does that.
Faye,
like
you ought to go there.
You've been riding in Bogota.
My kids are
here. Yeah.
Okay.
They don't like them old pedestrians.
Ah, well, they I'm not joking, and this man stopped, and I had a stick with a nail in it in case I had a dog fight back or something. And this guy tried to mow us down, and here now I was in her condition, and I scratched on his car with that stick with a nail in it and scratching the paint off.
And those taxi drivers prized
they
their
were
taxi.
They were furious.
They
he
prized.
Pulled up to the block and stopped and started coming back, and I was waving my nail stick at him. Well, I got mad at the fool. He missed me and the dog, and Nell couldn't get out of the way. He missed us like this, and I couldn't move. If I had moved, he would have run over the dog. He would have run over. I mean, they don't like animals, and I just wasn't about to put up with that. So he missed us that much. I raked his car with my nail, and he parked his car and started coming back. I mean, he was mad. And those dogs lit out after him. And that man jumped in his car and tore off. But they're not aggressive, but they know when to.
I declare.
That's not the worst thing. DJ, we came back from the
Well, the, you know, God, they should. I'm not naturally hostile against people, but they had no business trying to run down a poor dog and a poor old woman. They had no business doing that.
We were coming back.
Justice has to be served on people like that.
And
the wrath of God will get them, or I will.
Well, you had that little stick with a nail
in it. Well, I carried it around with me because the dogs would get into a, in case they got into a fight, I had to have some way of separating them. And I mean, they will get
you
in the
can't
fight.
You can't get in the fight and separate them. They'll chew on you.
No, I know that, but still,
was,
I can't have my dog beat up.
I know somebody who got chewed up.
Yeah,
from
I
separating dogs. Who was that? They got.
I got bit separating. I got a nail. One got a hold of my knee one time. I think it was my own dog.
They will though. They don't know who they're biting.
Well,
no,
they
don't. No, it could.
But
very
it's
well
not
be
their
own
fault.
Dog.
I mean, they. You know. I just can't take. You know, I can stand a lot of things, but I can't stand people being cruel to a child,
or
and
animals.
I cannot stand people being cruel to animals. I just can't take it.
Now, what was your...
We were on the way back from the park one day, and these maids used to get out and scrub the sidewalks, literally, just scrub it on their hands and knees. And Turnip walked through the sidewalk, walked on the sidewalk, and the woman took her hose and started squirting Turnip down.
Mm-hmm.
And Becky ran up and grabbed the hose and squirted the woman.
I did not.
You had the hose aimed right at that woman, and you know you did, Becky.
I don't remember that.
Well,
that
you most certainly did, and she was screaming at you, and you were screaming at her.
Was that when
and
you both were down there
yeah,
listening?
Yes, she did. She took that,
that
hose and just ran it away from that woman.
I did not.
You most certainly did.
You should have.
That must have been my better days.
That sounds like most
certainly did.
I went over. And crossed in a convoy in this Liberty ship, and we had the merchant marine on there, and we had a whole lot of GIs like me, and some of them were ranking colonels and majors and things like that. This boatswain, he had that hose, and he'd be out there to see they took care of the ship, and he'd be hosing it down. They'd do that all the time,
yeah.
And here comes a bunch of them high ranking officers. And I'm telling you, that hose just seemed to go in that direction. he just, and I'm telling you, they might stand there, they might talk and anything, and he didn't hear a thing, you know, except he was laughing.
Oh, golly Moses. What happened to him?
He got the upper hand.
Probably had a nice barrel.
They went around.
Oh, God.
They went on some other deck.
Oh.
But I'm telling you, they got a hit on him sooner or later. You take a bunch of brass, and they can take care of themselves.
Yeah.
They looted the pantry one night. They got 6 or 7 baked hams.
Oh,
you see, the merchant marine was just living the life of Riley, and the rest of us was just eating sea rations.
Oh,
see.
Golly.
And that night, they really had a time. I wasn't in on that. I guess I wasn't. My rank wasn't high enough.
Oh, golly.
That didn't matter about rank. It was just a big lark, you see. They weren't hungry. They had to be.
Well, that's the fun of it, you know, when you don't really need it.
That's right.
You take the services, they're going to compete. I don't care what's going to
do. They do. They really do. Well, we got
what sort of mess does, just give me one little note or two. What sort of mess does Gerald get into working for the government and all these places?
Well, he
I mean,
stays in a mess.
I know what I mean to say. You can have a good job and still the sticky side.
Oh, I'll
it.
Tell you what. Did I tell you what happened last summer in Brazil to him? He went to Brazil with a meeting, a conference. Now this will kill you. He got down there and there are two friends of his. That one of them was his head professor on his dissertation. And he and another guy and Gerald got together, and they went out to a dance, a samba club. And so he was there, and he had been buying some stones from this friend of ours down there who's a gemologist, and he mounts stones, is Mr. Koff. And anyway, he was in the samba club, and these police come in with these submachine guns. And they came over, and they said, "All right, we want to question you concerning a jewel robbery." And Gerald luckily had an official passport, or diplomatic privileges of some good rank on him, which helped. But he didn't display it because he didn't want to pull, you know, rank on these people. You never know if he'll make them mad or if he'll bring the government into it or what. But the guys took these three men, Gerald and these two others, and took them off to the side and said, "All right, where are the jewels?" And they wanted to know where the jewels were. And Gerald said, we don't know what you're talking about. And the guy said, there was a great big jewel robbery, and it was caused by foreigners who speak Spanish. And we know you did it. And they had them up interrogating them in a back room in the Samba Club with these machine guns.
An enormous amount of jewels.
The largest amount of jewels that had been done in years were robbed. And Gerald said, well, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. And the guy said, we know you did it. Just start confessing. And luckily, Gerald had made friends with a man who was Spanish, Brazilian down there, and he knew the guys, and he came in there, and when he saw he was in trouble, came in there and told the police they were absolutely mistaken, there was some bad problem, you know, about them. So, but they got him off.
Channel 2 Right, around 4-500, and the end of this beautiful little visit with Becky and Judy. Becky Lee and Judy Lee, Becky Feaster, and Judy McConnell, this Saturday afternoon, the 18th of January, 75. Now, this is the beginning of the short visit with Cookie, this Sunday morning, the 19th of January, 75, Channel 2 over, around 500. Beginning to visit with Cookies this Sunday morning, dreary, and Cookies dreary this Sunday morning, the 19th of January, 75. Turn to right, and the beginning of this short visit with Cookies this dreary Sunday morning, the 19th of January, 75. Channel 2 over, around 500.
Cigars. I ain't got no money.
You put the coffee in the
fridge. I lost my shirt yesterday.
You lost another shirt?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I lost that thing yesterday.
Oh, yesterday was the sale in Jacksonville.
Yes, sir.
That's the one you said you was going to.
I went to. Been better off if I stayed home.
Yeah, but you wish you hadn't.
Yeah.
Well, how would you lose your shirt at a sale? You don't have to buy if you don't want to.
Well, when you're selling and got to sell.
Well, you were selling.
Yeah.
I thought maybe.
Sold 980.
Those fine horses from Blacker?
Yeah. I sold them. No one sells them more.
Including the big.
Walking horse?
Walking horse?
Yes, sir. I sold them. I lost $35 on him, but I sold him.
Well,
our prices are not back up then too much.
13 cents in New Holland.
13 cents
a pound, that's right.
Back down.
Well, you came out on some of them.
One. One that I bought Friday night. Big walking horse. Big groom, flashy son of a gun. He's a good horse. bought him Friday night, $200, and sold him for $242.50.
That wouldn't make up for the other.
That wouldn't make up for the rest of them.
And they were all good horses.
Yes, sir. Like nine head, and they're good horses.
Are those you brought around here were good looking?
Well, those were good horses. I lost my shirt.
Well, you didn't have too much. You hadn't paid too much for them. They just down.
That's right. I didn't pay too much for them. They just wasn't bringing nothing.
But the man that sold them, you did better than you did.
Yeah.
Big one? 7 foot?
7 foot job, yes sir. I could use around on the state road.
Oh, those things?
Yes sir.
Oh, they're tough.
Well, I got one.
Well, it'd take a pretty good machine to pull it, wouldn't it?
Well, they pull them with a Jeep.
Not so hard to pull them?
No. They pull them with a Jeep.
Yeah, you see them every now and then.
Yeah.
Of course, Jeep got better gears than my old Alice Chalmers has got. That is, some of the Jeeps I have seen in my time have got better gears.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I ever tried to push a Jeep, Cookie. All them gears in there, she wouldn't push, see? You didn't think that little bitty old four-wheel thing on the road, you could just lean against it.
A boy of fortunes really go up and down, don't they, Cookie?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everything goes up and down to the stock market.
Cattle.
With the stock market.
Yeah.
Cattle don't go up and down, they just stay down. As far as I was concerned, they had any up to the cattle.
But you still figure you're going to sell some more. You're not going to get out of the business.
Oh, I don't know.
Can't get out when he's losing money, but he got to get his money back.
I got two at home that I'm going to sell. Yeah, we did come by that
118. Now, the private market won't absorb them.
I got a hot prospect on a big old gentle horse, if I can find it.
If you can find the horse.
Yeah. Big horse.
General. That is about 20 years old?
Yeah. The one that's too old to hurt anybody.
I think Barbara likes this 3-year-old. I keep running him down, and
she should.
takes up for him.
She should.
I say, I don't want any horse around that don't know as much as I do. That's a safe statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
She says she'd rather have him where she could start him.
Well, that wasn't sport.
And nobody had hurt it.
No.
Hadn't been scared.
Yeah.
That's scared business. That's the worst part, ain't it?
She got in. She got in on the ground floor there.
Mm-hmm.
To start with. It's going to cost a little bit of money to work him out, but he's going to be worth something when he gets done.
Well, she's got all the equipment, you know, the working on the lunge. She's got that lunge thing and everything. She had him out there working.
I started running. I didn't get out and get some bees down here yesterday morning, and I forgot until I was getting ready to go to Jacksonville. And I done sent the pickup off. I got to get back up the house. Got to take this man's truck to him.
That's the one you used yesterday?
Yeah.
It looks like it's in good shape.
It's a good truck. Got to go get mine.
Got to go get yours.
Yeah.
What do you do, just swap?
Yeah, that's setting up in Jacksonville.
How you gonna bring it back?
Tow it. I'll take my pickup and tow it back.
Oh, that's a heck of a thing to have to go all the way back to Jacksonville.
Yeah, when you bring that dry shaft into, there ain't no fixing it, only with a new one.
Oh, I see.
And you're talking about $200 there.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing it's just Jacksonville area.
You better believe it's a good thing it's just Jacksonville. 65 miles.
Could be New Holland.
Yeah. Fort Worth. El Paso. In Mason City, Iowa.
They do pretty well. Hold up the way they do, Cookie.
Yeah, the punishment I throw at them, they do good.
Yeah.
But I put something on one.
Yeah. Yeah. That ain't always gentle.
Mm-mm. They can throw 9 head of horses on a 1-ton truck.
That'll be £200 to a horse. Not counting the trailer.
I didn't have no trailer.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, you had 9 head of horses on it.
Yes, ma'am. I had it stacked in there, poured in there like sardines in a can.
Well, no wonder it busted.
Oh, I had to move.
Yeah, yeah.
See? Can't win to lose.
No. Well? You know, I'd hate to be brought up on some of the best equipment, Cookie, and then come out and just after working horses in an open field. You see, all the time Barbara's out there in that open field, she's thinking about that ring, 60-foot wide and 200-foot long or something like that, you see, this big posts and good sturdy boards around it. She's a water to her own field with it. And then she thinks about them jumps. What do you do it all in that circle or not? I don't know.
Yeah.
Everything in the circle. In the ring.
I go through rest of Tennessee walking horse colt. One was 20 months old and another one was 22 months old. Sold one for $55 and one for $58 yesterday.
Registered Tennessee walking colt.
Right.
For goodness sake.
I sure did.
At that rate, this little thing here wouldn't bring much.
No, I have to tell them. But, I mean, I was over a barrel. I had to sell. I sure hate to sell that big walking over through for that money. I bought him, took him in up at the house, put a saddle on him, and I rode him. Them girls, all of them got on him and rode him. I'm telling you, he could walk a hole in the ground.
That big one.
The one I bought Friday night, big roan. Strawberry roan. He only stood 16'2".
Oh, he was big.
16'2".
And he had that smooth gait.
Just like sitting in a rocking chair. But I moved him on down and found him a new home. $242.50.
Well, Cookie, if you had a banker, you could hold them.
Yeah, if I had some place. Yeah.
The feed bill would go up on you.
Yeah, well, if you had some place to hold them, something to back you. You get out here in the woods and paddle them. Beat the bushes. Make out. Well, when you're dealing with market, I mean, you got to buy them at market price. Well, I'd anticipated on paddling them good horses. Them's good horses.
Yeah. Good, clean horses.
That's right. Had all the shots, all the papers. I mean, they was clean from the ground up. Had them all.
Just for the need of $1,000?
$1,161. 29 cents.
That would save you.
Yes, sir.
God almighty.
But that's old 9 heads. I didn't get that much.
Sometimes $1,000 is just a lot of money, isn't it?
Right now, $100 is a lot of money. Which horses are tearing the fence down?
Rowdy's partner. Now, why do they want to do that?
Rowdy's partner. Well, I'll sell him.
You don't want to sell him. He's too pretty. What can you do to him? He gets up there and paws the fence, and then he backs up into it.
That ain't one thing to do. I'll just sell it. I got a home for myself.
Well, you've been looking for that for?
I know it. I've been looking for 4 years, but I ain't got no marriage license with it. I'll sell it.
He won't quit?
He might, yeah, but...
Neither one of the other horses do that, because and he's the only one you've had in there that does it.
I'm gonna sell him.
We were just afraid he'd knock it down and then all your horses would get out. Couldn't you put something on him? If you could tan him every once in a while if he did it, would that help?
Yeah, but he'd be watching for you and waiting out there. Catch you gone and you go do it again, probably.
Well, he may not do it except when you're out there watching him.
Well,
the only time I know he did it was when I was out there working in the lane.
A lot of them will back up to a post or back up here and rub themselves.
Yeah, when they're worming. When they're worming, they'll do that.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
He was using his feet.
You think he's worming?
He shouldn't be. He was tubed the second day of December. He was tubed, had his VEE, had his Coggins test and everything. Second day of December. Yeah. Final report, December 2nd, 1974.
They list them all. They just put them in a list.
He's separate.
Hmm.
He's separate.
Oh, he's separate.
Yeah.
I had them. What is it down? The Oriole been sitting out there. He got that pretty plumage, and I just put that down so he couldn't see me so well in here. Watching him. Oh, and reading the dark one, huh? Don't matter. Couldn't have had anybody. Here we are doing business without enough equipment. You see, you need $1,000 and a few stalls. Barbara needs a ring. Like it looks like somehow or other we could get going.
About the time I get ready to start doing something or something wipes me off my feet. I'm just about to give up.
Without a little backing.
I'm just about ready to give it up. Here I am.
Well now, let me see. This fella, Dick Moss up here, has these jukeboxes and electronics. He was trying to get into business. You go ahead, Peggy. And I don't know whether you remember that or not. And he had to buy enough equipment. And he didn't have any money, he didn't have any collateral. His daddy up there working for wages, and he couldn't help him any. But he managed it a little bit at a time, the way he got started, but it's hard on him. And I was looking around some of these fellas around town that I knew and knew of. And I remember this fellow that used to have the that make glasses, eyeglasses, over there on University, right there next to
Anderson.
No, right there next to the square. You know, big tall fella, big blow. And he was out of that business then, and he had money to work with, and I brought it up to him, and you know, he just almost spit in my face. He said, imagine a fella getting in business way that he didn't know as well as the man that we that he was going to buy. Said if he didn't know more about the business than the man that he was going to put in the business, he'd have to stay out.
Yeah.
Well, I thought about that a whole lot. You see, you get it, if somebody going back you, they got to know as much as you do. Or
yeah.
At least they got to know enough to save the skin. Well, now this fella yesterday come over here with that tractor. He cut two or three of these little plots for me. And you know what he's doing? He's been running this big rig now for ever since they had it 4 or 5 years. And I told him when he went over there, when he used to come down here under the trees, just stop out there somewhere. You know what he did? He done like all of them do. Now when he gets to the end of where he's cutting, he got to figure, Cookie. He got to figure the fence there. With a rig like that, he can't just drag it around. He'll make ditches there, you see. I don't have any equipment that'll even fill them up. Now, why you got to tell a man like that?
Nah, beats me. That's beyond me.
He gonna make them big ditches, and every time I go by there, you see, I'll break a spring.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is now, if I had stayed in business, and I get a fella like to work for me, somehow or other, I got to keep him straight.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I go broke. Well, now, that's as close as I can come to it. You just can't turn him loose. Say, go ahead.
Well, I got to get out here and go. I got to have that truck back by 12, because we got to haul some more horses today.
So you're on your way to Jacksonville?
Yeah.
That's a nice rig. Pretty. That help you a little bit in the lane?
Yeah.
Them things are growing out towards the middle of the lane.
Yeah.
Some of them limbs are so big I had to use a saw. Right into trouble. Took a half hour coming back. Now, if I could take a plow on both sides of that and throw the dirt up a little bit and cut that bahia grass on the side, I think it'd hold a while. But I can't hold the plow and drive a tractor too.
Well, I'm better get out of here and go.
That's the end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 19th of January, 75, Channel 2 over, around Oh, I don't know, 1500. Channel 2 over around 1500. The end of visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, January the 1975.